Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's Christmas!
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the fourth of our 12 rambles of Christmas, a daily countdown of what we see as the 12 defining topics in football since we switched on these microphones of ours in 2007.
We faded them. Yesterday he gave us a hardware insight.
He did.
We loaded up Adobe Audition. Back in those days, we'd be...
Cool Edit Pro, mate.
We'd be in my bedroom or something like that.
Yeah. Were we not using Cool Edit Pro then?
We were using Cool Edit Pro. Cool Edit Pro 2, mate.
Get lost. Okay. I've never used Cool Edit Pro.
You might not have.
I was using Audition. I was using an Mbox 2 external sound card.
There we go.
It was supposed to be used with Pro Tools, but I couldn't use it.
Tune in for more of those Christmas present tips tomorrow.
That's number 5.
Yeah. But we're on number 9 of the 12 rambles of Christmas.
The Ramble Advent calendar.
So, yes.
Slam down your mulled eggnog.
And what's in today's box, ladies and gentlemen?
It's Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
Oh, Jim. Peter, tell him off.
Not Jim.
Peter's the last person to be criticised.
Yeah, but that's how bad it was.
What a naughty little
Even
Jim.
Peter was thought, oh, that's a bit...
That's a bit spicy, isn't
it? What did PD think about that?
Not for Christmas.
No, fair enough.
One for Diddy Donaldson.
Yeah.
But we've opened the box, and it is Manchester City win their first Premier League title in 2012.
That does make more sense.
For the final game of the season alone, yeah. This is worth a chat.
Merry Christmas, Manchester United fans.
Does that mean we're not talking about our top five finish? Newcastle United. Oh.
The 8-year contract will be coming up, though,
Well, the 2011-12 season was Manchester City's 15th season in the Premier League, and it'll perhaps remain their most memorable. They had last won England's top flight in 1968, finishing 2 points ahead of their local rivals, Manchester United. It would go even tighter than that, though, that season. But since then, despite the odd trophy win here and there, Man City hadn't really been one of England's truly top clubs. I think that's fair to say. From the late 60s until the Premier League began in 1992, both Manchester clubs didn't win the title. Then the Premier League came along and Man United definitely made up for lost time. It's very, very fair to say. Indeed, Jim. You agree?
So, yeah.
And they became the dominant force in English football, did Manchester United. Man City, in a local context, were way behind them and distinctly second best, of course, in Manchester.
You should have told Man City fans to skip the first
couple. Yeah, exactly. No. I think they're
going to relish that.
Yeah. Don't you worry. They
Well, there were some other quite tight finishes in the Premier League era. I mean, Arsenal were nicked to it by United in 99, yeah. when the year they actually did win the treble, because Pompey weren't on the scene. it was fine. It was a...
The Blackburn Rovers?
Yeah, they won it by a point in 95. Yeah. And there was...
Another time it went to the last day? Was that when Manchester United beat Middlesbrough 3-0 away?
That wasn't the last day, though, was it?
It was.
Oh, it was, okay.
It was,
right,
it was clinched. Okay. I mean, it was always going to be clinched.
Yeah.
But I'll clinch you in a minute.
Yeah, you will.
Clinch your throat.
That'll do, Peter.
Is that Pards? But this year was the 20th anniversary of the Premier League as well.
Yeah.
There you go. So it's even more a significant story.
Storied.
Even more significant. But yeah, but Manchester... I mean, for those who can't remember or those who have forgotten, Manchester City was so distinctly second best in that city. I mean, I know for most of the part, and obviously some people would definitely argue and league positions would suggest from one or two previous seasons that the changing of the guard is happening in North London, but it's far more keenly contested that and has been over the years, even though Arsenal have won Premier League titles. But Manchester United and Man City, it was almost sort of night and day.
Yeah, well, City had had wins before over United. I think, did they maybe beat them 4-0?
They went for this habit of doing quite well in the Manchester Derby, from what I remember. Yeah. The same way that Sunderland always beat Newcastle.
Yeah. They always raised it, but in the mid-90s, Man City had been hanging around the relegation zone, and they were relegated from the Prem in 1996 on goal difference from Southampton and Coventry City, who survived. And then the following season, in England's second tier, they finished mid-table. Then in 1998, they were relegated to England's third tier. I mean, they were dark days in the late 90s. Now, they went up for the first time of asking, an incredible playoff final, 4 goals in the last 10 minutes. And they were promoted again the following year, back-to-back promotion. So back in the Premier League in 2000, and I think a lot of them thought, right, here we go then. Then they got relegated again, and Man United won another league title that season, just to establish the dominance again.
Sorry, were you forgetting what the natural order of things is? Yeah. Here's another reminder.
But it's so easy. When you just glance into Manchester City's recent history, you go, they were such a yo-yo side. They were
West Brom.
Oh, well,
I think the fans don't trust them. Still can't fill the
ground.
That's
funny, isn't it? It's funny because when...
Played some of the best football the Premier League's ever seen, can't fill the ground.
Yeah. But up until a few years ago, I detected as well with Man City fans, there was definitely a sort of, you always do it the hard way. Yeah, this is typical City type stuff.
Yeah, well, a very famous Man City fan was saying that his son was saying, we've got Arsenal on the weekend. I can't remember when this was. And he's going, should win that. He said, we'll take a draw. Yeah. and he forgets.
They're not used to it.
No, it's a funny
but
one.
This
you know.
Is the thing with that season, as you touched on, with how it was very clear, like, actually, you know, United were distinctly second best. This is when you started to actually trust it and believe, like, actually, you know, this is here to stay. They are going to do what they've set out to do and establish themselves.
Indeed, and Man City, they got themselves back into the Premier League in the early noughties, and for the rest of the noughties under various managers, Kevin Keegan, Stuart Pearce, Sven Egan's and Mark Hughes, they would finish 9th, 16th, 8th, 15th, 14th, 9th and 10th. Mm. So fairly uninspiring stuff. I mean, not as good as they are now, Jim. The stats are there to not be argued with, but a few for the top half finishes. But it was still a million miles away from what it is now. In the summer of 2008, the Abu Dhabi group bought the club off Thaksin Shinawatra. And this changed everything. Mm. The money came in. An enormous amount of money came in. The new chairman Al Mubarak, I think that's pronounced.
Al Mubarak,
said after the takeover, "We are not going to do crazy stuff, but it makes sense for us to build a dynasty. And my goodness, aren't they just?" And then he added, and here's a blast from the past, the executive chairman, Gary Cook, and manager Mark Hughes call the shots, and we're here to help them build a sustainable club. Mark Hughes is as good as they get, and we're backing him all the way.
And I mean, Gary Cook did certainly call some shots, didn't he?
Do you remember they tried to sign Kaká for a huge amount of money?
Yeah.
And Milan didn't want to sell, and Gary Cook accused them of bottling it in the press.
The woeful jib of Gary Cook.
Yes, quite.
I mean, Mubarak did back Mark Hughes to the tune of $270 million. I mean, like, that's a lot of money. That said, though, some of his cheaper acquisitions were probably his most useful ones. Vincent Kompany, Zabaleta, Gareth Barry.
Yeah.
These were like players who'd played there for quite a while.
Imagine what longevity, relatively speaking.
Imagine what Sparky could do at Stoke with that sort of money. Hey?
Well, it was so funny because under Hughes, this was, as I say, when the money came in. And to be fair, they did give him a little bit of time, especially in the modern context, which is quite funny. But it was the signing of Robinho. Do you remember that transfer window?
Because it was on deadline day.
It was on deadline day. Robinho, he had been superb for Real Madrid. He was instrumental in them winning the league title. And then he started getting a little bit antsy. And I think he wanted to force a move to Chelsea. And Manchester City, bearing in mind, remember those finishes in recent seasons? It wasn't like they were challenging for top four or anything. Far from it. Man City came in and out-muscled Chelsea and one or two others and got Robinho. And it was kind of like, oh, they mean business. Mm. This is happening. And I think Hughes was on the golf course and didn't know. The owners basically wanted a marquee signing. They wanted something off. They wanted something to really show their kind of financial muscle, as it were. And it was this season that Sir Alex Ferguson branded Man City the noisy neighbours.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah, the old noisy neighbours.
Very well.
Now, we fast forward to December 2009. They sack Mark Hughes. They bring in Roberto Mancini, who guides them to a fifth-place finish. Things are starting to change. That was easily their best finish, of course. They'd brought in Carlos Tevez by now, mugging off Manchester United.
Yeah.
And he was on the signpost, welcome to Manchester and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of stirring, and those noisy neighbours were only getting noisier.
It's funny, because you don't think of Man City as upstarts now.
No.
They were real upstarts. The Gary Cook Welcome to Manchester poster was very Mancunian shipping.
It was a pointed thing, though, wasn't it? It was to try and own the noisy neighbours thing and actually get under United's skin.
And it was also playing on, that poster particularly, was playing on the idea that Man United are a global club and that their fans aren't really from Manchester. That's essentially what they were playing on.
Yeah, well, their squad now, very recognisable names. Wayne Bridge, who was decent back then. Stephen Ireland, who was also decent. Martin Petrov, Patrick Vieira, Emmanuel Adebayor, Kolo Touré, Craig Bellamy, Sean Wright Phillips, Johnny and Lescott. Decent players back then, obviously not the world beaters that they have now, but they were still decent, and the money started making a proper difference on the pitch. In 2010, 2011, they signed David Silva, Edin Dzeko, Yaya Toure, Mario Balotelli, Alexander Kolarov, and James Milner. And those players, some more than others, you know, were crucial. They finished third, with Manchester United again winning the league. So Manchester United was still top dog,
but they're creeping.
Man City finished third. They did win the FA Cup that season, beating Man United in the semi-finals. It was the club's first major trophy win since the League Cup in 1976. And when they beat Manchester United in the semi, you could see some of the Manchester United players and the fans and all that sort of going, hang on, we're not having this.
Yeah.
And of course, the next season, it all went off. And we're going to talk about that season after.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This.
We've played 2.5 minutes of stoppage time. Beckham could raise the roof here with a goal. I don't believe it. David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to
Bethlehem.
Oh
yeah, there we go. That's where it all began. Yeah. For the Christmas story. But before we talk about that incredible 2011-2012 season, Luke Moore has got something to say.
Yeah, our 12, we're counting down. We're on number 9 at the moment. Listeners out there, we want you to get in touch with your favourite moments since 2007. We've had some great suggestions so far, but of course we'll be revealing our winner on Christmas Eve, who will win a 55-inch 4K TV from Toshiba. And in addition to that, we'll also record a special in the new year of the winning moment as well. Toshiba offers you the chance to watch every football match in 4K picture clarity, thanks to the TV's pinpoint sharp resolution. No detail, flick or kick of the ball will ever be missed. Enjoy 24/7 access to a whole world of online content, including catch-up TV and on-demand services such as Netflix. With this TV, you can also access last week's show on demand with Freeview Play. For an authentic audio experience, it also comes with a subwoofer to project the bass sound. Don't just hear, but feel the roar of the crowd. So for your chance to win, email in with your favourite moment from 2007 onwards to show@thefootballramble.com, and our human filter, Pete Donaldson, will be there to help you out.
Maybe you want to go for Phil Brown's on-field team talk.
It's another one.
It's a nice one.
Another potential one. Yeah.
That was at Manchester City.
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
And then Jimmy Bullard parodied it.
Yeah. He did, yes. Didn't he?
On his way, satirical bastard.
On his way to a regular hosting gig at Soccer AM.
And anywhere else at Lavin.
Which will be number one on our list.
Indeed.
Don't give it away, man.
Crying out loud.
It won't be really. No.
Well, unless there's a recount.
Anyway, the first half was all preamble, Mark.
It was all preamble. Let's go, ladies and gentlemen. The summer of 2011, Manchester City signed Sergio Aguero from Atletico Madrid.
Never heard of him.
A big statement. Yeah. They also signed Sami Nasri and Gael Clichy from Arsenal.
Yeah.
But that was quite a statement as well.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Arsenal were...
Because that used to be what United did. Come and like take part in their rivals.
One of the things I think goes unreported or less than regularly recognised about this season is City lost the Community Shield against Man United after being 2-0 up. And Nani scored a 94th-minute winner, which meant they lost 3-2. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the time thinking, this has been a really good game for a Community Shield game, because sometimes they're a bit drab,
aren't
they?
That's right. But it was interesting because, again, Manchester City were getting closer, and Manchester United were thinking, hang on, the Community Shield, you lot aren't meant to be here. Essentially, they'd feel like they're noisy neighbours, like they're irritating neighbours who they're thinking, why are you at this big event? You lot shouldn't be
here. Why are you at my work, dude?
Yeah, exactly. But Manchester United did win. They got that injury time and you feel, oh, okay, is the status quo going to continue? Now, on the opening day of the season, they beat Swansea 4-0, Aguero scored and all the rest of it. It was the third match. They went to White Hart Lane and won 5-1. Dzeko scored 4, and people were thinking, ooh, hang on.
Yeah.
That is a big win. That's a very big win. And then Manchester City only dropped 2 points from their opening 8 games, scoring 27, only conceding 6. They went to Old Trafford to play the champions. Now, Manchester City fans would have been looking forward to this match after their third place finish and FA Cup win. Belief was building. All those years of playing second fiddle just exploded in that 90 minutes.
This was with apologies to Man United fans listening, this was one of, if not my favourite, Premier League game.
It's one of the most outstanding Premier League games.
Seismic.
In addition to the final game of the season, which we'll come on to, this game had everything. And I remember Balotelli obviously scoring 2 the day after he set his own house on fire.
Why always me t-shirt?
With the Why Always Me t-shirt. And I watched most of the game back ahead of doing this, but I also watched the Alex Ferguson interview afterwards.
Really? Okay.
And I don't know if you guys remember, but United started the game pretty well, and City scored against the run of play. Mm-hmm. But United, perhaps, dare I say it, a bit of arrogance still from mm-hmm. used to being on top. They were really open, and they pushed and pushed and pushed.
Yeah.
And the reason they conceded three more late on was because they kept pushing.
Well, they were a man down as well by then.
Yeah, Johnny Evans was sent off. But even when Darren Fletcher scored a lovely one to make it 3-1,
yeah.
he went and got the ball. But there wasn't much time left, but they still thought they could get something out of the game. And Alex Ferguson, to go back to my original point about him in the post-match interview, he's as angry as I've seen him. Mm. He's absolutely beside himself. The words he uses in that post-match interview, I mean, bearing in mind he's so angry he can barely speak anyway.
And he's only got to do it once because he didn't do the BBC, did he?
No, but at that point he was talking to the BBC.
Oh, he's still talking
again.
To the BBC, yeah. Right, okay.
And he uses the words suicidal, a total embarrassment, and said his team played crazy football. He's fuming because maybe he sees, the significance of what's just happened on their own patch. Mm.
Well, I think one of the most sort of satisfying, you know exactly what I'm going to talk about, yep. Marcus, one of the most satisfying kind of illustrations of how that power had shifted was the fan zone thing,
yes.
the very famous fan zone.
Oh, of
the
fan commentary.
Of that guy who was like a teacher, wasn't he? But this really Mancunian guy just who kept going, yes!
For those who don't remember, there was a fan from each side commentating on the game. Yeah. Sky Sports used to do the
and this
commentary.
One went viral, very much so, didn't it? Because it just keeps going, yes, and, take it, yeah. take it.
Embarrass him!
6-1 at the Swamp.
But the further significance is that, of course, United end up losing the title on goal difference mm-hmm. by 8 goals, and City beat them by 5 goals. Mm-hmm. There, a huge fan.
It was such a big result.
The best thing about the fan zone thing was that I think the Man United fan was drafted in. He was like a southerner. He was drafted in by a mate of the producer because they just couldn't get anybody.
Oh, really?
That's hilarious, isn't it?
How probably he got mugged off on so many different.
Nobody's going to watch this. Yeah. No one's going to watch this. Yeah. It'll be your 2-0 maximum. Yeah.
But I love that. The fact for Man City fans, the 6-1 at Old Trafford, it will live long in the memory. You'd be surprised if another result happens like that.
United's biggest home defeat since 1955, which was also to Man City.
There you are, you see. Mm. But it was that kind of so many years of being second, just overthrown in one game. Because even when they finished third, Manchester United still won the league the previous season.
And to add even more significance to this game, if United had won that game, they'd have overtaken City and gone top.
Yeah, but the two of them were vying for it in first and second
and
place.
As it stood, because of that, City went 5 points clear.
Yeah, and Man City then went unbeaten in the league until they lost 2-1 away to Chelsea on the 12th of December. Then they had a couple of sloppy results against West Brom, and then they lost to Sunderland. It's quite hard to think that Sunderland took 4 points off Man City that season. But they lost to an injury time winner from G. And people then...
They lost twice in a row to Sunderland 1-0, didn't they? Do you remember? It's quite famous.
When was that? Was that in the Cup as well?
They lost in the league either the season after or the season before, and it was exactly the same.
I see what you mean. And people thought, oh, Man City going to bottle it, you know, typical City kind of idea. But anyway, they got themselves up and they held down first place.
I was just going to say, which they needed, because Man United reacted to that game against City in amazing fashion. They went on a huge run themselves after that.
Yes, they did.
They really responded well to it.
Indeed. There was a few bumps on the way, but when March came along, they lost to Swansea, Manchester City. They drew with Stoke and with Sunderland. Now, they'd held down first place in the league from that 6-1 win at Old Trafford on the 23rd of October until early March, when Man United clawed it back. Now, Arsenal then beat Manchester City in early April, and Man City fans were nervous. Six games left. Man United were 8 points in front of Manchester City with 6 games left. They had a good old lead.
Oh, nobody talks about that lead, do they?
the game that killed United, if you remember, was that Everton game at Old Trafford.
4-4?
Yeah.
They were 4-2 up
with
about 10 minutes left. And there were 20 minutes left, and Jelovic and Pienaar both scored to make it 4-4.
It was an incredible game.
Yeah. And City beat Wolves the same weekend, I think.
And Man City won 5 on the bounce, including a 1-0 home win against Manchester United.
Vincent Kompany
with a towering header.
Yeah, he was brilliant that game.
So it all meant that it set up a straightforward scenario for Man City to just beat QPR at home. They were fighting relegation QPR on the last day, and it didn't quite end up as straightforward as they like, of course. But I think Manchester City fans went through all the emotions. They thought, we've thrown it away, yeah. Typical City, blah, 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 blah. Then they got themselves in that position. And at halftime, I think they were 1-0 up. It wasn't inspiring, but Zabaleta scored. You think, a bit nervy, but we're 1-0 up. We're playing against Queen's Park
Rangers. And it was a mistake from Paddy Kenny.
Yeah.
And this game had everything the ramble wants in a game. Yeah. Right? David Silva with a lovely full head of hair. Big Mike Dean as ref. Clint Hill in the mix-up.
Well,
there we go.
Pleases at least one of us. Joey Barton red card.
Oh, yeah, Joey Barton.
So also...
Joey Barton, the meltdown. Elbows Tevez in the face. Kicks Aguero, puts the nut on Vinny Kompany when he comes in.
Three red cards.
And then he goes for Balotelli as he's walking off as well.
Yeah,
he almost made Sean Wright Phillips cry.
And he used to play for Man City.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah. Ridiculous. He's among friends.
And on top of that, though, like Joni Lescott then drops a massive clanger, which lets QPR equalise.
Yeah. That 50p head.
Well, Cisse made it 1-1 just after half time, and then Barton was sent off. So even when Cisse scored 1-1, you thought, oh, that's a bit. Oh dear, but then Barton gets sent off, and you think, oh well, you're fine, you've got the extra man, and so on. And then out of nowhere, Jamie Mackie makes it 2-1 to QPR, and you're thinking to yourself, oh bloody hell!
I did not see Jamie Mackie being part of this narrative.
I didn't think QPR were going to be part of this narrative.
With a faced header into the ground.
But can you imagine if Manchester City had thrown that away? That all they need to do is beat QPR at home. Right, Manchester United.
Who were relegated? Were they not?
Yeah. No, they weren't relegated. Okay, right. They just survived, but they were in the relegation fight. So it's a straightforward win. All you got to do is that. If they mess that up, the psychological blow might have been hard to come back from. Do you know what I mean? The first title is always the one that you want to get over the line. Of course, they might say the second one is the hardest to win because of inertia and so on. But the psychological blow to Manchester City to lose it on the last day when you should win it
against your massive rival,
exactly,
who you've beaten
twice, who would have basically just gone
absolutely.
I told you. At 2-1 down, they started, as you would expect, and as we all know, they started knocking on the door in a big way. And at one point, they bring Balotelli on, and Paddy Kenny makes an amazing point-blank save from Balotelli. Mm-hmm. And on co-commentary is Niall Quinn, who's obviously an ex-Man City player. Yeah. And when he makes that save, you can hear Niall Quinn going, oh!
Yeah.
he wants City to win so badly. Yeah.
Well, Dzeko got a goal in the 92nd minute, which, to be honest, felt like a consolation.
Yeah.
Because it was the 92nd minute, you thought to yourself, there's no time. It's not as if it was on the 88th, you know.
Yeah, it's meaningless.
At that point, United had already won.
Yeah, Manchester United had beaten, I think, Sunderland away 1-0.
Yeah, didn't Rooney score?
Possibly, yeah. And so they were done. And Manchester United fans at the time, they wouldn't have believed their luck. No. 10-man QPR beating Manchester City at home. Mm. 2-1 going into that. I mean, it
was so good that this match was at City as well.
Yeah.
Which I think is wonderful.
Absolutely.
Like, if it was, there would have been less polish to it, I think.
Well, I was in a pub in West London watching it with a load of QPR fans.
Right.
And they couldn't believe what they were saying. I mean, none of us could, you know. Mm. And then, of course, what happened at
the end. Jamie Mackie, they were saying.
They were saying, wasn't he your replacement at Leatherhead under 18? I said indirectly.
Well, I could have done what he just did.
In a way, I have. Yeah.
Probably what spurred him on. But, Dzeko scored in the 92nd minute. And then the goalmouth scramble to end all goalmouth scrambles.
I don't think it was that scrambling.
I don't think it was a scramble.
No, it was a scramble.
I think that's unfair.
Okay. It was a nicely worked goal in a very compressed area.
All right,
correct.
An 18-yard box scramble.
The small box.
It wasn't a scramble.
That wasn't a scramble.
There was no scrambling.
There was a lot going on the edge of the small box.
You're not making me eggs, mate.
Well, Balotelli manages to nudge the ball to Sergio Aguero.
I think it's great forward play.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I'm saying, in the circumstances, he manages to get there. And the QPR defenders, you know, some of them, we'll never know, as Martin Tyler may or may not have said to me the other evening when I was chatting to him. But some of those QPR players were fighting relegation. And they needed to not lose the game, really. So they were defending to the hilt. But the ball manages to end up to Sergio Aguero, who makes sure. It's fair to say.
It's a great finish.
Yeah. And then all hell broke loose at the Etihad.
And everyone knows the Martin Tyler commentary.
Yeah.
But he also says something I thought was quite good after that. He says, and no one ever reports it.
He did a little Aguero at the end. Aguero.
No, he said...
Man City fans still shout Aguero to him in the street, as you can imagine.
I think that what he says afterwards is quite Barry Davis-esque.
Go on.
It's not reported. He says, watch it, drink it in. They've just heard the news at the Stadium of Light. Premier League dreams have come true in blue.
That's great.
That really is
that
good.
Is brilliant.
And then Niall Quinn, who's presumably just ejaculated, just manages to groan out, the greatest moment I've seen in Premier League football.
He's Irish.
He goes, Martin.
You do it.
Yeah, but you know, he just, you know.
He goes, Martin, you read that off a card.
Yeah.
You had three made up, you tit.
You've got a stock all over the studio.
No one's touching my babies.
So Aguero's winner actually came 15 seconds after the final whistle at Sunderland.
Right.
So United fans had that. They had that smugness for 15 seconds. That's all they had it.
They had quite a bit more time outside of that, particularly to enjoy themselves.
Well, well, 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, they can't complain really.
A big moment because not only just the most iconic end to a season we've seen since we started doing the show, but a game that had everything in the front. And also, as you said, Marcus, and articulated well, the ushering in of a new super club, essentially, because it doesn't really mean anything until you start lifting big trophies.
Yeah, absolutely. And since then, Man City have won the league one more time, and they look odds on this season, of course. They've won the League Cup a couple of times. They are among Europe's elite clubs, and the fact that they got Guardiola at the time, you know, when he was leaving Bayern Munich, rather, that speaks volumes as well. They've transformed that club. And in 2014, opened a £200 million academy. I mean, again, this is just stuff that Man City fans... It's been from the days of Main Road and all that kind of stuff.
I wonder how
different.
Without putting a dampener on it, I wonder how many of them have a bit of nostalgia for those days when they were a little bit...
Well, this is the payoff, isn't it? Because
you deal with the devil.
Well,
all the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Well, it's not, though, is it? Because you lose the... The sort of personality, you use the impersonal nature of feeling a connection to your club.
But if you've already got that there, does that really go away?
I'm just putting it out.
And also, you're talking to an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, true, yeah.
The Etihad is hardly the Olympic West Ham Stadium, though, is it? You know, it's a much better home.
I know what you mean.
It's a much better home.
But it is right that it's such a toss-up, that, isn't it? Because some of those Man City fans will undoubtedly prefer the days of Main Road, and other Man City fans will go, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
We see David Silva play. We've beaten Manchester United in such fashion to win the league.
To have that moment, to have that Aguero. Apparently Mancini was really worried about his dad. He had a heart attack the last summer. He was really worried at the time he's going to have another one because of this such a tense end to the match.
Mancini, when they win it, goes absolutely crazy. Legs over to David Platt and Brian Kidd, massively hugs him, and the camera cuts to Vinnie Kompany on the floor in absolute pieces.
Yeah.
And everyone jumped onto it. It meant such a huge amount to them, you know.
It was incredible. And Mancini will always be welcome in Manchester, well, some parts of Manchester, we should say, for his part he's played. I mean, obviously, he left the club not that long after, you know, a season or two, whenever it was. But he was the man who delivered the first Premier League title. But you look at Manchester City, you know, the group in charge of the club, they've expanded their portfolio around the world with the purchase of other clubs, including New York City FC and Melbourne City FC. And the Manchester City, what we were just saying there, Luke, that many of us remember fighting relegation in the Premier League and home games at Main Road and being distinctly second best at Manchester United, well and truly in the past. And all that remains really is a Champions League win. Because it's a competition they haven't really taken to as yet. They got to a semi-final one year, but that really is the only trophy missing on the in the cabinet.
That's basically why Guardiola's there, and that's the next rung on the ladder for them, isn't it?
And we never thought a number of years ago, even back 10 years ago, something like that Manchester City would be in such a position. But here they are, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we were a lot younger back then.
I mean, the problem with that is, you know, they're getting later in year because I don't even recognise them.
Yeah, that's Talisa's Young from her debut solo album, Female Boss.
Oh, the Female Boss. That's the record she put out when she was a judge on X Factor, getting prime time exposure every Saturday night, and it got to about 300 in the charts.
Well,
you can tell why, listening to that.
Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to our fourth of our 12 Rambles of Christmas. Of course, it's a daily countdown of what we see as the 12 defining topics in football since we ruddy well started all those years ago in 2007.
Indeed. Yeah, if you want to get... I was going to press the button to say goodbye, but I'll press this button instead on myself. Hey, do you want to get involved when you suffer a Toshiba at 4K television? I'm a Toshiba. I've always had a Toshiba in my life.
There you go. It's good.
Very dependable.
You're now living the brand.
I know you're trying to give them away.
If you want to get involved and you've got a happenstance that you want to nominate for a show, get involved show at thefootballramble.com.
Are you absolutely sure that song you played there wasn't Dane Bowers?
You're out of your mind, Luke Moore.
The male boss.
There we are. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
I'm a Toshiba man.
And I am.
Christmas! Sorry, Marcus. Once they've started, I can't stop them.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes
without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.